Okay, at some undescribed point in the future, we are traveling back through our flux capacitor systems to bring you this podcast. It is a podcast on some cartoon that was called Macross at some point in the past. I really don't know much about it, but here are our panel of experts that are going to shed light on this mysterious subject. Venus, go.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about now.
Excellent. Tochiro.
I mean, I'm just here in the Arcadia. I'm the engine. I'm driving this thing.
Somebody please save us.
I got nothing.
All right. My name is Renato, as it always has and always will be. But here we're standing in the wreckage of the aftermath of nuclear war. And I timed it just when you were taking a sip of that chuhai. So we're going to talk about Macross, I believe, right? You have some anecdotes for us? Hit us.
Well, that was the most like inorganic segue I've ever heard. Thank you.
It's about
Thank
robots.
You. That takes skill. No. Basically, we're here to jump back in time and talk about Milan Party 2, which happened all the way back on January 30, but we've been so inundated with Delta stuff we haven't had time to sit down and talk about yet. And it's especially relevant because next weekend is Totsugeki de Culture, which is another fan gig by a different group.
Nobody told me that.
You should be on Twitter, Renato. Have you got that phone yet you told us about weeks ago?
Damn you, I... This is why I don't want to play around with your game. Oh my god. I swear to god, man.
So before we get to that, though, before we get to Milan Party, look.
Nobody knows what we're talking about.
There's been all these events recently, right? Been talking to the fans a lot. And, you know, there's these conversations that happen, and these are the nuggets of being able to interact with fandom here that I really like. They're good discussion points. They're just interesting to note. And this first one I want to bring up happened immediately after Milan Party. We had an after party for the Milan Party. A party for the party. Or something. And I ended up at this table with a couple of old school Macross fans. When I say old school, they grew up with the original and they've followed it all the way through. And we'd come from a Macross 7 fan event, so everyone's talking about Delta. And I was like, well, what do you guys think about Delta? You know, we're in this tiny little snack bar.
Is this the one that was after...
Immediately after Milan Party, yeah.
Okay.
Right. So in this tiny little snack bar, and...
I have an anecdote about that as well.
Terrific. Well, I asked them about...
After you finished.
Thank you. I asked them about 0.89.
Yeah.
And they both seemed fairly, you know, happy with it. And I was like, well, was it what you guys were expecting? And they're like, no. But if it was what they'd been expecting, it would have been a failure. And so their point way of thinking of this was that after 34 years of being Macross fans, each Macross to them was characterized as not being what the fans thought they wanted. It was always something new to some extent. So they were like, yeah, when Macross 7 came out, you know, a lot of fans, you know, in Japan were put out at first. It did bring in a lot of new fans, but you know, people watched, they gave it a shot, they ended up loving Firebomber. And whether they loved the whole show or not, there was, you know, it definitely had a legacy in music. But, you know, at first, of course, there were similar shocked reactions to 7. But even before that, for fans who grew up with the original TV series of Macross and do remember Love, suddenly get hit, you know, and they love this, you know, idol, Minmay, kind of classic 80s idol feeling of type of music, then they get hit with Macross Plus, which is suddenly this syntho kind of, you know, really electronic kind of music that doesn't, at first, seem to have any soul. And they said, you know, it was the same reaction when Plus came out at first, which I thought was interesting because everyone equates Plus to what fans of the original Macross must have wanted because it was more mature, more technical, you know, more gritty aircraft. But they said, well, no, there was a part of the fandom that was shocked at that as well. And we're seeing this again with Delta. If we didn't get this kind of fan reaction, it wouldn't be Macross. So I found that to be a really refreshing point of view. And it was very much... you know, diametrically opposed to a lot of what I hear from certain segments of Western fandom. You know, it was interesting to hear. I mean, what was yours, Renato?
Well, you're not going to like it. But here goes. So I was sitting opposite this guy. These are all Japanese fans, by the way, apart from us.
Speak for yourself.
Okay. I still speak for myself in the us form. The okay. Royal we. Anyway, I was sitting opposite this guy, he started talking to me about Robotech.
I think I heard half of that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, you know, what is it? What is Robotech? I mean, the songs, they changed all the songs. And then he started singing, Stage Fright, go away.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is my... And then the other Japanese fans turned around and said, what the hell are you doing? And and he said, this is how it is. This is how it is over there. This is what they watched.
Yeah.
And you know, I want I gotta do... you know that song, Love Goes Away? You know how it's sad because Minmay is fearing for the soldiers and pitying them and stuff like that? Well, you know what they sing? No, what do they sing? I'll tell you what they sing. We will win. How American is that? America, man. We will win. And I'm like, oh my god, wow, this is a revelation. And I'm like, how did you see this? How did you know? And he's like, YouTube, man, it's all on YouTube.
That, I talked to that guy.
Of yeah. certain
So what
other
we ended up doing...
streaming services.
No, a few drinks in... I actually wasn't going to say this, but okay. A few weeks in, a few drinks in, I should say. And
I don't know how much he had.
We had maybe four of us, and they were pulling up, like, Roborec comic covers. to look at the art for what was considered standard comic book art. Now, I get it. That was the 80s and the 90s. Art stands were different. But they were like, is that supposed to be Minmay? What the hell is that thing? Like,
yeah, yeah. That's what it devolved into.
Yeah, it devolved into basically complaining about US comic book art. It was kind of hilarious.
Yeah. And I felt bad because, I mean, for myself. Because they were like, you like this? You used to what? And I'm like, no, I didn't. I don't know.
I'm in Japan, all right?
I didn't touch this.
Why do you think I went to Japan? International refugee crisis. That's all caused because of a certain show.
Oh, my God.
So, you want me to jump into another one?
Oh, go ahead.
So,
go ahead. Please.
So, these fans, like, you know, the first guys I told you about, they were saying, you know, Delta was good because it was different, and that was the key point, right? Macross is different. If it's the same thing over, it's not Macross. Not long after, I was at a hobby show, and I ran into the number one Megazone fan. He was actually there to promote a Crusher Joe doujinshi, an art doujinshi, which is great. You picked a
is
copy up
one?
At the Sasaki Rune event.
That is good.
Yeah. So they've had that three events so far that I've seen. It's a really good little doujin. And he was there. He had, you know, he had actually made some of the Crusher Joe ships in Lego because he makes a lot of great stuff with Lego. And I said to him, how's Delta? You watch 0.89? Because the broadcast hadn't started. Like, what did you think? He's like, not interested. Didn't like it.
Yeah,
not watching it.
Yeah, yeah. He
and I thought about it and I was like, okay, let me guess. Is it because of the CG Mecha? Because I know you love Megazone, which, you know, is the peak of, in some respects, of 2D Mecha artistry in anime form.
Well,
is it the CG?
Some people say that's Macross Plus.
Well, I was like, is it CG? He's like, no. I was like, well, you know, is it the idols? Is it the music? He's like, no, it's none of that. It's too much of the same thing. He's like, I predicted this is pretty much what it was going to be. It's revisiting all these old concepts. It's not about the tropes or the CG or any of that. It's the fact that it's not new enough. He said, Macross needs to be newer than this. It needs to be more shocking. This is too much of the same. Which was really interesting. He's like, it needs to go further out of left field to be Macross. So,
yeah, and I can understand that as well, I think. I think it is, for me, it is different enough, but it could have been more different.
Right.
And that's why when I went to Osaka, which everyone has listened to by now, I suppose.
No, they better. I mean, we've had podcasts.
Yeah,
at least two podcasts.
It's been years.
Yeah.
It's been years. I mean, here we are. We're standing in the wreckage of nuclear war, right? In the nuclear fallout. Our apartment's gone.
I was never here to begin with. It's all a dream. Keep going.
And I think that I actually forgot what I was going to say.
You're talking about Macross Delta being too much of the same.
Mm.
And standing in nuclear wreckage.
I mean, I think what I was saying before in a different podcast is that Frontier didn't go far enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this was further.
Mm-hmm.
Further enough. But it could have gone further because Howard was talking about Capoeira, right?
Oh, yeah, that previous podcast.
Yeah,
I think the term you're looking for is not far enough. I think you meant off the rails. Because
I guess so, yeah. It's not about distance. It's about, like, a completely different path, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Well,
I mean, the fact that they're going into just idol music again, mm-hmm. rather than a completely new genre of music, is still a bit of a disappointment for me, no matter how good those songs are. They are good. But overall, Macross always needs to be more out there, in my opinion.
Well, I found those were very interesting, contrasting opinions, right?
Yeah.
And around the same time, again, this is going back to around the time of episode one. Everyone had seen Point 89. I noticed on a few forums, websites, a lot of... among English-speaking fandom, you know, some of the naysayers who are very vocal, and that's fine, everyone's, you know, has their opinion, had dug up a bunch of comments from Nichan and I think they must have run it through an auto-translator of some description. And these comments from Nichan were all... they're almost a mirror of what I was seeing from some of the more negative aspects of Western fandom. They're like, what is this? It's all AKB-0048. It's jumping the shark. What is this? It isn't Macross anymore. And
yeah,
I saw these comments, and there was no link to the exact thread, but they hadn't come pasted in Japanese and English. And I thought, you know, it's funny. I've never actually seen a message board that actually gets this negative. And, you know, I follow Japanese fans and anime on Twitter, you know, on Facebook, on some blogs, and most of all, you know, talking face-to-face with fans. And I'd never heard... I'm sure these kind of people are out there, but I'd never actually heard Japanese fans say this in this way.
But I always report on that. You never believe
me. Can you let me finish?
Yeah, okay.
So either way, so I don't like Nichan. I tend not to frequent it. So yeah. I sat down with a couple of fans, and then later on I sat down with Hisame, and I was like, look, let's have a talk. I want to talk about this. Like, here's these comments from Japanese fans. Have you seen this? And they're like, oh yeah, that's from Nichan. I'm like, all right, so there is a segment of fandom like this. Because, you know, most of what you guys say, most of what I hear is positive. And they're like, well, there's this small contingent of older, grumpier kind of fans that post on Nichan. It's like, but these are the older generation of fans that don't really know how to use social media. They don't know how to get out there and put these views on Twitter or on Facebook. They still use the same kind of posting forums, Nichan, they've been using for a decade or more.
Yeah.
And they're like, I was actually told by the young fans, honestly, who uses those outlets anyway? Like, all the younger fans, and especially the positive people, more positive fans, are out on social media, whereas you've got this core, this small group of more negative older fans on forums. And what struck me about that explanation, you know, they were like, yeah, you actually have to go looking for these fans. Of course they're there, and that's fine. And like I said, everyone's got their point of view, their opinion. But it was literally the Western fandom had literally found a mirror within which to reflect themselves. It was the exact same group of fans across the pond, you know, which is fine. It's not, in my opinion, reflective of more general reception Delta's getting, especially now. And granted, we're 8 episodes in, things have changed considerably. But I thought it was funny that of all the Japanese comments, of everything out there, the one thing that someone could dig up, translate into English, and put up there was literally the mirror image of the same kind of demographic. It just struck me as really, really interesting. But yeah, I had these huge discussions about that. But Renato, so you're telling me, you always telling me this way. Like, I know you heard the what was it? Owatakon, right? The Finnish
con. Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. That was when... when was... that was a while ago.
Wasn't that when the
Blu-ray came out?
Was announced? Or Niche? Or
the I think it was even before that.
Right. But, so, recently, I mean, have you come across anything in Japanese fandom that... I mean, granted, I hang out...
Yeah, precisely the reactions to Macross Delta as it's airing.
And where are you coming across these?
Nichan.
Okay, well, same. Okay.
Literally, I'm checking... like, not all the time, but every so often. And yeah, people are just, like, old and angry.
Wow, people on the internet are old and angry. Who would have thought it? Wow. Were you going to jump in there or something?
No, really, it just sounds universal. That's about it.
Yeah, age does stuff.
Universal bunny. Well, something that's not old and grumpy. The final thing I just want to say before we get into Milan Party. On the way back, actually, and I think this was on the way back from Milan Party, I made a note of it. There were two fans I'd walk back to the station with, a guy and a girl. They were a couple, right? And the girl would have been probably early to mid-20s. The guy was maybe 4 or 5 years older. And they were the latest, in air quotes, Macross couple I've come across, because they're both huge Macross fans. And so we're on the train halfway home together. So I was asking him, you know, how did you guys get together? He's like, well, to be honest, I'm a Seven fan. She's a Frontier fan. I'm like, all right, well, how did this start? And he was like, well, in the middle of the Frontier boom, you know, he was into Frontier as well, but he started with Seven. And there are a lot of, you know, on Mixi and whatnot, a group scheme together for karaoke. So they
Mixi is the social network service that is only popular in Japan.
Right. It still exists, believe it or not, although it's decreased a fair bit with the rise of Facebook. And so you'd have these groups getting together on Mixi saying, let's all meet up, go to karaoke, sing some Macross Frontier. And nearly all the girls had, he said most of them had Cheryl avatars, a couple had Rankers, but one had a Basara avatar. And he was intrigued. So,
this is the one, is what he's on.
Well, he went to one of these karaoke, he started going to these karaoke events, and he ended up bumping into this girl, and he realized this is a girl with the Basara avatar. And she's like, yeah, she started getting the Macross with Frontier, but she went back and like her father owned all of Macross 7 on DVD, and so she watched those, and she became a huge Macross 7 fan, but everyone around her was really into Frontier, only seeing Frontier. So these two met, and they both love 7, despite the fact they jump in at different parts of the franchise. And yeah, the long and short of it is, they've been dating and I think living together for like the last 6 years. And it was really interesting because, you know, we've talked in the past about Macross families and couples we come across, like with babies and Yak the Culture pajamas, right? And stuff like that. But this is the first time I've caught up one of these couples when they're relatively young and they've met, like, in the more or less the current boom. And it was just a really positive kind of like, oh, that's cool. You know, and then now they turn up to all these Macross events together and, you know, always say hi. So it was just a neat little story, I thought.
They will win.
So, talking of Millen, I'm editing that out.
星へと歩き出す 青い伝説の羽を追いかけて 夜が明けるまでに fly, fly, fly. 自由な風のように
Milan Party.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. Last year we talked about Milan Party in, we were holed up in the...
In the Robot Cafe, that was right next to it.
No, that was something else, a Milan gig. That was a cheer gig. We went to, we're in the Suginami, the animation, was it Suginami? The animation thing,
Aquarium. Aquarium!
We holed up and we're talking about the...
we're talking about everything but Aquarium.
Yeah,
poor Aquarium.
Poor Aquarium. Well, after Logos, no, I have no sympathy for Aquarium.
You're done.
I'm done.
F'd up.
So, Milan Party happens, the second one of these events, and to recap, Milan Party is an event by the fans to celebrate Milan Genius's birthday. It's held every year approximately on her birthday. This year it was held on January 30 as opposed to February 2nd, which is her birthday because timing. It was held in Ikebukuro this year, a little place called Chop, a little live house. And there was a bit of scheduling conflict because, you know, they've been playing this for months. Everyone has lined up. Everyone was rehearsing. And then a couple of months beforehand, Fukiyama announces he's doing a concert that very night at that very time.
And, like, I seem to think this isn't the first time this has happened. This happen...
This happens quite often.
But
normally it's like, you know, around a public holiday or around a golden week. To have everything... On this just random weekend, near Milan's birthday, it's not like it's near Basara's birthday.
Yeah.
And granted, it's not like it's an official event, so... It's not like the lack of communication you get when there's two Macross concerts on at the same time.
Yeah, which does happen.
It has happened, yeah. But, you know, it was a shame, nonetheless. So, with that... taken into account. They had, I think, probably a smaller turnout than the previous year, but more than they were expecting.
Should I talk about the reason why the venue was changed?
Go for it.
The venue is a...
It was a smaller venue.
The organizer...
smaller venue than last year.
Yes. The organizer, her name is Ikki-san.
Yeah.
She's either a close friend or is going out with the...
She just got married.
Married with the master of the chop place. Not the chop, that the... what's it called? Lucha. Lucha is the bar that we went to afterwards.
Right. No,
I think they're either involved or they're very close.
Yeah, I think they're just very close because I've... Yeah.
Yeah, and so that is in Ikebukuro, just a short walk from the live house. So the live house is a very small place. But the previous year, the guest was Chie Kajura,
right,
who came out to sing just a couple of songs at
that,
the end.
That would be Milan's singing voice.
She was so impressed. First of all, she came out to do her own songs,
mm-hmm,
right, last year. She was so impressed with the performance of the bands during the main part of the gig that she said, why don't you guys come back on stage?
Yeah, like, they did during the gig, impromptu, right? Song, right?
Yeah,
no rehearsal.
And no rehearsal, and people had already started packing up their instruments and were getting ready to leave, but they managed to catch them in time, and so shoved them back on the stage,
right,
and she performed. And I think that overall they made a loss on that event.
They did.
And that's because the venue was so expensive.
Right.
And the venue was so expensive because Chie Kajura would not participate in any other stage.
Interesting.
She didn't want... I'm sure that Ikki-san had suggested to go to CHOP first,
mm-hmm,
and Chie Kajura took one look and said, no, I'm not doing this. Because of acoustics or because of whatever, but she chose that other place. I can't remember what it's called.
It's
in Harajuku, right? So,
well, it was noticeably smaller, and things had overall been scaled back a bit. There were no free badges or postcards or any of that stuff that we got the previous year, because, as you said, they finished off in the red. They were trying to get back into the black. And I guess before we move on to the details of the event, they are hoping to do another one next year. Ikki-san has recently gotten married, and you know, her new husband's laid down the law and basically said, yeah, you can keep doing these as long as we don't lose money. So they're currently looking at ways to better monetize and also cut costs. So next year there's going to be, like this year there's, as before, there's a regular ticket and what they call the supporters ticket. And the supporters ticket gets you guaranteed front row or front two rows.
Which saved me out a lot, because I got there like 3 minutes before the gig started.
He just walked straight
because
in.
Because of reasons.
Got straight down the front.
Yeah.
And it gets you a guaranteed autograph ticket with whatever guest they've got there. Now, next year, they're apparently going to do a tier on top of that, which is like a $100 ticket.
Really?
Yeah, well, that's what she's apparently planning. And we don't know what on earth that is going to involve, but we'll see, I guess. So I was among the supporters' tickets, and let me say this. I will buy the highest tier of ticket each year for this to support the event, but I am not going in that front row ever again, because... What? I was dead center front up against the railing, and I was so concerned about the poor girls behind us. I'm not a tall person, but I'm taller than them, so I kept squatting down, like crouching down could see properly. Plus, you're so close. I could literally have reached out and like grabbed the microphone stand.
Yeah.
Like, plus, then they record these events, and my head's right there, smack bang in the front.
Yeah, you know. I have the DVD with... just your face,
which thank you, which officially doesn't exist, right? But
yeah, I guess not.
But, so yeah, either way, that was a little bit.
Well, I don't feel any qualms about that whatsoever. I will go to the front row because I've paid for it. I have.
I think maybe I'll stay at least a few rows back next time. You know,
really?
And I don't like being. It's the second year in a row.
I know you don't like being in the way of people. I felt bad at first, but I got over it. I mean. It's, what?
Yes, Adrian, yell.
I'm kind of, I remember...
You're the tallest one.
Well, I remember the Chie Kajura gig in... near Club Asia.
Yeah.
And literally, the old guard of Macross fans bitched at me for being too close to the stage. They're like, we cannot see over you.
Yeah.
So,
did you say?
I always stand in the back.
What did you say to him? Grow?
I don't stand in the front.
I've been nice to people enough. I think I've paid my dues.
Alright. where does one go from that? So...
To the content itself.
Yeah, to the concert itself. So let's look at the concert itself. Strictly Macross 7 music. Now, more so than certain other fan events, you know, for example, there is the Totsugeki de Culture coming up. We've talked about that briefly on podcast. And then there was before that...
No, I want to know what that is. When is that?
That's the one where last year they had the really good...
yeah, but you said it's next week, right?
It's next week. This year's one is next week.
Yeah. What day? It's the weekend?
The Saturday evening.
I'm not going to be here!
Oh, that sucks.
Damn.
Anyways, so...
I'm going to be at Akon. Is anyone going to be at Akon? No, because...
No.
Because we're... Because we're recording this in the future, right?
Of course.
Again.
Too bad. Your
timing ruins everything.
Well, my point is, Renato. Yes. Akon notwithstanding, that these other fan events tend to be more about musicians doing covers, or this is more about the fans paying tribute and just
having fun. About musicians playing covers, because the first year was a variety of bands doing different songs in their own way.
And this year it wasn't.
And this year it really wasn't.
It was Teshima Explosion.
Yeah. Except for the opening, which was
Mui Mui.
Yeah, our friend.
Which was a friend of ours who is Shobomba.
Shobomba,
that's right. He is a Macross comedian, Macross stand-up comedian.
Yes.
And he did a great Kwadlen Rao missile attack.
And I showed that to my wife, and she said, he's a genius. Yeah. Wow. And she's not a Macross fan, like, by any stretch of the imagination. And she watched that, and she really enjoyed that.
His stuff is hilarious. I've been watching him for years.
Yeah.
Again, he got married relatively recently, and he's not as active as he used to be, but his stuff is always good. It was the first time Egan saw him as well. I remember you were down the front kind of cracking up.
Oh, well, mine was... Oh, the jokes that were given by the comedian?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely inside humor. It's the kind of stuff that... Only Macross fans. Well, it was his crowd right there.
Right, yeah, yeah. Most of them knew him.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, he opened it up. And then the main band was Teshima Explosion, although they did have kind of a revolving roster of singers. They had the main three girls, and then they had Isame. And
then they had the singer from that Totsugeki Explosion band last year.
The guy, right? Was it the guy?
Is it a guy or a girl?
Oh, that's a girl. That's a girl. Sorry. Yeah. So she's going to be at the Totsugeki de Culture.
Yeah, good for you and her and whatever and everyone else that goes. Damn you.
But yeah. So this was a bit of a different feeling to the previous one, which was just multiple bands, whereas this was really one band. And Teshima Explosion, which is a Macross 7 cover band, their organizer, founder, and guitarist, Teshima.
Yes.
He's amazing guitarist.
Yes.
He's really good. I spoke to him afterwards a bit, and he was just like, yeah, just grew up watching Seven. Really liked it. I was learning guitar as a kid. I just thought I'd play some Seven. I'm like, but you're so good. Like, he's really good.
Yeah, and the whole band is good, and that's why Chieko Jura last year said that she wanted to perform with them. Right. Because she... I heard it from Ikki-san that basically she was... most likely just looking down as this whole fan event. It's more like, I'm getting paid, right? I'm getting paid. But then when she heard them, she thought, okay, these guys are musicians.
Right.
They're not just playing around.
So they had... How many vocals did they have? I mean, we had at least three girls, plus Ikki-san, plus that girl on loan, plus... I mean, Hisame did...
On loan.
So it's like at least six girls... There was a guy in the Fire Valkyrie outfit.
Yes, and then there was the other guy.
The guy with sunglasses who was kind of the comedian who tore the outfit up.
Yeah.
So that's, alone, that's like eight vocalists, minimum.
Do you want to explain the gag that they do every time, that they've done three times so far?
So every single time, and jump in if I get this wrong. So every year, or every time they do this performance, one of them... picks a fake fight with the guy, one of their singers who's dressed as a Fire Valkyrie, and tears his costume.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, "Ah, look what you've done." And he kind of curls up on a ball on stage and pretends he's what, he's having a sook? What would you say in regular American
he's
English?
Sulking.
Sulking, that's the word. And
it sounds similar.
Until, like, he starts turning to, like... Oh, and then he won't get up, and one of the girls comes in and does a Milen, right? She's like, get up, Basara!
Yeah.
Say fire and bomba!
Yeah, a Milen from the final episode, where Basara doesn't wake up because he's drained of spiritual. So Milen comes in and says, come on, Basara! You're always jumping into battle! Do something! Get up! Say fire! Say bomber! Say anything! Come on!
And she did it really well.
Well, she's the performer, right?
Right.
I actually don't like so much the way she sings, because she...
Well, she's got
She does it in a very coquettish way.
It's a very falsetto kind of high voice.
So. It's not just that. It's that she's doing a slight character performance when she does that. Anyway, so...
But she did that really well, like the Milan part, I thought, really well. And it's funny, because, you know, she's actually mock-kicking him on the ground.
Yeah.
And then she finishes her role, she puts the mic down, bows to the audience, and runs off.
Yeah, and says, just ignore me now.
Broke the illusion there.
Yeah, yeah. And
then he's
that's
on,
part of it, yeah.
He's on the ground, and eventually gets to the, you know, what was that mountain called? It's like, he's talking about the mountain.
Yeah.
And then he ends up going into...
When I was young, I used to sing to the mountain, thinking I could move it with my song.
But,
well, I'll move it today! Gingayo! Yamayo! Orinutiki! And then, you know, breaks into song with Try Again.
But before that...
Yeah, yeah. Are you talking about the t-shirts?
Yes. He's on the ground, he's like, screw you! I designed the t-shirts for this gig, damn it! But they were good t-shirts.
Yeah, they were. You always want them. This is the third one.
I actually got one this time.
Damn you!
It's green with a pink Milena. It's really good.
Yeah.
I'll show you later.
Show me. Yeah, why even bother?
I've kept it in the box. with my Valkyries. But yeah, no, it was really funny, because he was like half fussing, half bitching at the girl who was kicking him while he was down. But yeah, he broke into song, and everyone came back on.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I like these, because it's all just about having fun.
Right.
They
kind of do need to replace those two costumes, though. The VF-11 Maxil and the...
Well, isn't the Maxil new?
She's used that
Milan Valkyrie.
Yeah, she used that at least once before.
Yeah. I don't remember
seeing
it before.
So it's just like they're getting really grotty, and they keep piece. And I asked them afterwards, they're like, "Yeah, we kind of need to make these from scratch or upgrade
customs
mid season upgrade." So what did we get song wise? I'm going to give you a quick set list here, Renato.
Yeah.
All up before we got the special guest, which we'll get to. We got 13 songs. No. 12 songs. First was Shobomba, the comedian. Then we got Planet Dance, Seventh Moon, Duck It or Baby, Koi no Maho, Holy Lonely Night, Burning Fire, wait for it, Magic Rhapsody, Pillow Dream, Virgin Story, My Friends, Song of Eternity. And Nyan Nyan.
Song of Eternity is pretty good.
Nyan Nyan Fire, Totsugeki Planet, Explosion.
That is not.
Well, that actually goes off really well live, because everyone...
It does, you're right.
Everyone chimes in together, like they had singers at once.
But I never put the CD in.
So, alright, so of this lineup, of this set list, was there anything that jumped out that you...
Well, no, I was just going to say, do you want to talk about the story of Shobomba? Because it's a story, right? He's the comedian.
The story he made up? Or there's multiple ones. Which one do you want to talk about?
This one. Basically, what he was doing is... he was playing all these different characters, but the setup was that, as you know, because everyone who listens to this podcast obviously watched episode 11 of Macro 7, which is Minmay Video, where the UN Spacey tries to boost morale by making a propaganda-like story about the story of Lin Minmay and how she conquered the Zentradi army with the power of song or whatever.
Right.
In the episode, of course, we find out that the roles of Lin Minmay and Hikari Ichijo have been played by Milen Genius and Basara Neki. Mm. So what this Shobomba guy, Mui Mui, does is expand on all of that and basically plays out the entire episode.
Mm-hmm.
The entire TV
all the
special.
Characters, so all the character sound effects,
and so he's written in extra stuff into the fiction. Like for example, Rex is one of the operators of the bridge of the SDF-1 Macross, and so she's speaking into the microphone like in a really sexy way, and says, "Skull Leader, launch from Prometheus or whatever." And like, And then Milene breaks in and says, "Hey, hey, who cast Rex in here? I didn't know that." And so she's getting jealous. So all of this is played by one guy, and he's got the characterizations and the timing all done perfectly.
And onto
the BGM, the music.
On top of that, you've got his sound effects, like whenever he does the Zentron. They're called churro.
Yeah. A man and a woman.
He's great. And the walking effects.
And he's, yeah, and he is fantastic. And he uses visual aids, like a racket can be a gun and also a guitar and all these things. You mentioned the missiles, which is kind of like a these streamer things.
Graffiti, confetti streamers things, to do eternal circuses.
Yeah.
And a glow stick to do a civil. He didn't do it this time, but the civil beam.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Because it wasn't civil, it was a. It's the beam, the spiritual beam that the Elgar Zones have, right? So he did that and put it on his forehead so that he's getting his spiritual sucked out. So it's really cool. But let me just leave you with this, because this is the ending, and I thought it was genius. Well, ending was genius.
He also subtitled himself. We need to...
He did
an entire long segment in Zentron, and he had these huge subtitles he held up so people knew what he was saying.
Yeah, these signs in Japanese, right? But you remember the ending?
Vaguely.
The ending was genius in the real sense of the word, not Max genius. It was basically the show ends, and they're like, "We saved the galaxy, yay!" And then he goes, "Pew!" as in a TV had just been turned off, and he says, "What a weird TV show. I'm not gonna watch this show again." And then he acts as if some tiny child is pulling on that character's clothes. Beep, 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 beep. And then the character turns around and says, "What is it, Cheryl?" And then baby Cheryl looks up and says, "I love that show! I am now going to sing to the galaxy! I will be a greatest singer in the galaxy!" And so basically he's tying it into Frontier. It's all a prelude to Frontier. And Cheryl therefore became the galactic songstress because she watched that TV show that starred Neki Basara and Milene Genius as Hikari Chijo and... what is it?
Huh?
Minmei, that's her name. Oh my god, so he tied everything.
It was
the
great.
The entire franchise, it was... magnificent.
And you know, the thing is, I'd only rate...
I didn't need the concert after that. I'm sorry, Tishima Explosion.
I'd only rate that as the second best one he's done.
What was the first one?
He did one once where he was tying in Yot-chan as the the founder of... The guy who inherited, you know, Nyan-Nyan.
Oh, and man, I don't remember that one.
He made he had all these branches around the galaxy.
Yeah.
And at various stages in his life, each branch got destroyed.
Oh.
So, like, you know, he had one on Earth when Sharon Apple incident happened. He had one, like, on... he had one on Galileo 4 or whatever when it got blown
Galileo
up.
Galileo 4, yeah.
And each time he got more and more kind of obsessed and negative, depressed. He ended up being one of the brains or heads that were the evil bosses in Frontier.
Oh my god,
it was great. And he tied it all together, and then there was like a time warp, and he ended up somehow with everyone in one spot, and he got to make ramen for everyone. So he made like spicy ramen for Basara, and he made like, I don't know, gyoza for Mew. It was really
Space
really
Dandy cool. Did it. Well, anyway, that's Mui Mui, right? That guy, he's amazing. However, you can't search for him online. He doesn't do video. He doesn't do any of these things.
Yeah.
Which we actually really nagged him a lot about.
Yeah, I've actually suggested to him that some of his stories, he get an artist to adapt them as a doujin.
Yeah, and he doesn't want them. Because we met him after the Walkiri mini gig.
I
did. And, and so, if you remember, if you've seen the photographs or the videos of the Valkyrie gig, like before or after the gig, you know that there's a giant screen behind the stage, or in front of the stage, rather. And so, some of us friends of him, because, what's her name? Jun? Miyazawa Jun was there as well, the singer. And I said to him, "Mui Mui, by the way, I loved your performance," because I hadn't seen him since then. And I showed the DVD to my wife, and she loved it too. And he was just so embarrassed because he doesn't like being filmed. Everything he does is live. And so Jun turned around and said, "Well, we've got this giant screen here. Why don't we just perform right now, and we'll film everything. Just go up on the stage." And he was like, "No, no." He went to run away.
He didn't have enough confetti.
No.
So
anyway. So, and then apparently there was some concert after that.
Right. Well, let's get... Was there anything in the track list? I mean, again, this is fans performing it, so nothing really jumped out at me. It was all just fun.
Yeah, it was good. Know. It was okay. But no, it was good. It was good. Right. It was enjoyable.
Then we had the special guest.
Yes. Which was?
Which was Mika Okudoi. And that's Mika with a C.
And Okudoi with sometimes a C and sometimes a K.
Yeah, because she spells her name as M-I-C-A. Of course, who are we talking about?
Emilia! Emilia! Emilia?
Now, you know, it's amazing.
What is, huh?
We had Mika Okudoi, yes, the singing voice for Emilia, come on. And as Richard has noted, well, for the English-speaking fandom at least, up until only several years ago, we had no idea who sang that role.
Yeah, right? Until I asked. And probably the same guy with the glasses who had the baby later on. Because that couple was there. It wasn't...
I don't remember. We're going too far back.
They didn't get together until later.
But she performed at Firebomber 2014. And that was the first
which
time
I didn't go to.
She'd performed in a long time. And now she's come and participated in this fan event, which was great. And the way the organizers met her, the only... If you look for her online, one of the few things of information about her is she endorses a product, a brand of vocal voice supplement, right?
Yes.
To make your vocal cords smoother? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It's some kind
maybe
of...
Maybe it's trick. Like those things, those Fire Bomber things that they were selling?
Yeah, I think they're the same thing. At the karaoke?
Yeah, the Joy Sound. But it all ties together.
So that's the only website she's on, and apparently the organizer uses them as well when she sings, like Iki-san, right? So, and she met someone who's involved with the company that makes them. She's like, oh yeah, I saw your website. You know, I love Mika Okudoi. And they're like, oh, well, why don't we introduce you to her? And that was all it took. And then she invited her and she came on, and she sang two songs. So she did Heart and Soul and Flash in the Dark.
Yeah, Heart and Soul, which she had performed at the live that you went
she
to.
She did Heart and Soul in 2014. But I'm pretty sure she didn't do Flash in the Dark.
No, she did not, because that was one of Iki-san's big, big PR moments that she was performing this live for the first time ever.
Right.
This is only the second time that she'd ever performed it. And to be honest, you know, it kind of showed, because she screwed up a couple of verses.
She missed the lyrics. Look, as a general performance, she was better in 2014, even though it was only one song. Then again, she had Fukuyama backing her up.
Yeah.
On Heart and Soul. She had a stadium. She had real audio equipment and, I'm sure, a rehearsal. This was just like literally she just walked on, did the songs.
You think she didn't do a rehearsal?
I don't know. Oh, she was hanging around while we were waiting to get in. So
oh, really?
She did walk past at one point. So really? Maybe. But yeah, look, both of the songs she made mistakes in, but she was really energetic and getting into it. That was
definitely
really good.
And it was good. At last, I went to see her performance.
It took a fan performance for you to finally see her do, or anyone see Flash in the Dark.
Yeah.
How many years has it been since that was officially released? Like 96?
It was 95.
95.
So exactly 20 years.
Wow.
That was this year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so 21 years.
Wow. That took that long to hear that song live. And yeah, I mean, like I said, she was really energetic and into it, and it's amazing this can happen after all this time. It was really great. Did you have any comments about her actual performance, or...?
Yeah, I mean, apart from that couple of hiccups with the lyrics...
Right.
I think it was good. Obviously, it doesn't... She doesn't sound like she did well, she's 20 years ago.
Not a spring chicken anymore. And yeah. her normal... I mean, she's still a very active artist, but she does, like, lounge jazz?
Yeah, kind of. Yes.
And it's all in English.
Well, it's because they're standards.
Right.
Like, you know...
Jazz standards.
Yeah.
Because I picked up one of her albums at the venue.
Oh, did you?
And, you know, jazz, fine, you know, but not only was it nothing like her Macross songs, it was all English jazz, which I wasn't expecting. I thought it would be more Japanese jazz. It was just very, very different.
No, a lot of Japanese performers just do straight up standards.
Mm.
So.
Even Mimi, remember she did one of the Simon Garfunkel song on that.
Okay, well, that's not jazz.
True.
Yeah, no, she did Simon Garfunkel, she did Bob Dylan, she did the Beatles, she did Yesterday. Actually, I should listen to that album again. Because last
Miss
time I tried.
DJ, to, right, that one.
Miss DJ.
Yeah.
Last time I listened to that album, my wife told me to turn it off because like half of it is a radio show, right? Well, the whole thing is a radio show, really.
Right.
And she sounds so brico, like.
You know, I
like,
love it.
Of course you do.
Well, afterwards there was
Kamiakira is
an autograph session, right?
Yes.
There was an autograph session, kind of a meet and greet.
Yeah, I autographed my Laserdisc.
So did I.
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah.
We both took in
the same thing.
The Galaxy's Calling Me.
And did you notice that everyone was looking at us?
Well, like,
who are these guys with this antiquated old format that I've never seen before?
Bunch of people had the Blu-ray, which had just come out,
yeah.
And... the day before the concert, I was going to get... Well, I went to get it, and it sold out in certain shops in Akihabara.
Yeah.
And I do wonder whether that was because of the fans wanting to get copies to get autographed. Cause
I don't think it's that. They sold out in Amazon as well very quickly. I think
they had Macross Plus the movie. They had Do
they
Remember
just,
Love. But
I think they just made less of them.
Wow, okay.
To be honest.
Because I got the Blu-ray and the Laserdisc.
Yeah. I mean,
and the CD.
They reissued them recently again, so
okay.
There's more, but yeah,
we need to do a podcast on those audio commentaries at some point.
Well then,
yeah,
I'll need to listen to them and make notes, and I don't have that some time, so
sometime,
maybe next century.
Okay, cool. But yeah,
flux
so
capacity.
Getting to meet her was great. I mean, her manager was there, and he's an older gentleman as well, but I appreciate the guy behind her.
Oh yes,
passing
yes, yes.
On. But yeah, we got our autographs, got a picture with her, and then afterwards we went to that after party, and yeah, so
No one was speaking to her at the after party.
Well,
and I wanted to, but she was over in the other corner of the room, and then I had this guy in front of me talking about Robotech.
Well,
so.
We should say, yeah, she did turn up to the after party for a while, like part of the way through. But it was kind of like, you know, she was over there with the band and the organizers. I felt it was kind of awkward. I mean, I said hello to her briefly, but.
Yeah, she talked. I mean, a couple of the band members talked to her, but then not so much.
Alright.
I don't know if it was like a standoff.
I just
thing.
Think people try, you know,
trying
professional,
to keep the distance.
You know, trying to treat it with respect. I thought, but
I guess so.
But you know, it was a great experience. I'm not sure how they'll top that next year with regards to guests. But
well,
at the end of the day, it's a lot of fun.
What I heard was that Chia Gajira was going to be the guest
again
next year.
Okay, fair enough.
Which is why they had to make a profit this year,
so they could bring her and get the other. Okay. Interesting. Well, we will be reporting on
that
again next year.
Yeah. Well, anyway, these events are great. I enjoy them as much, if not more, than the official events.
Oh, and because I'm not sure if we'll get anything in the way of, you know, these kind of performances at official events.
Yeah, they fill in all the gaps.
Yeah, they really are great. It's a shame they're not more accessible.
It
was your first one.
Same reason. I didn't quite get some of the gags you guys were talking about, the whole ripping off the Fire Valkyrie thing. But once I figured, oh, wait, this is a setup, this is something's going on, I got into that.
Yeah.
I really loved the comedy skit, although it was, yeah, like I was saying, it was weird how you knew it would play to this crowd and only that crowd. And because of that... He went full tilt on, you know, of all the inside jokes that you can get, because you had to have been a Macross fan, you had to have been a Macross 7 fan, and I didn't catch that ending part. Yeah, I didn't realize what that ending part was.
That's true, yeah.
So I was like, oh, cool. So
it all comes together.
And then the concert itself, I enjoyed a lot as well. And just hearing different fans and their interpretations.
Did
of
you
the
get
song.
An autograph?
Yeah, I did from her at the very end.
What did you get autographed?
Oh, it was just a shikishi. I just got a standard board signed. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I didn't get anything as awesome as an LD, because I guess that's the best thing you can get, because that's the biggest official thing you can get short of getting a vinyl, I guess, signed.
Not that there is one for this.
Yeah, that's true. But they are doing it for some recent stuff out now, for some anime.
Yes, they are.
They're Flashback. Wicked City and all that.
Exactly. That's, I think Wicked City is Mondo, so that's not Japan, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah, so I know that Flying Dog brought out that Space Dandy vinyl.
Yeah.
Limited, right? And I really want to get in touch with Flying Dog and just ask them to release Macro 7 albums on vinyl.
What they're doing is the opposite. They've been releasing the high-reso versions, right?
Yeah, on the downloads. Like, who cares? The problem is that there's no audience for that, right? Space Dandy, yes, maybe, because it attracts a different crowd, right? It's kind of almost hipstery. But the Macro 7 fans, they're of a different generation. They didn't grow up with vinyl, so they've got no affinity for it.
Well, it's funny because during last week's like Macross Delta radio show, whenever they have a new voice act and a guest voice actor or actress from the show, they do a commercial for an upcoming product in character.
Yeah.
And this time around, they're advertising the fact that they announced the soundtrack. So they played on the Delta thing with the cat ears, and they had everyone vocally saying that they were wearing dog ears. And they were talking kind of, they were throwing ones in all the... Yeah, instead of doing yan, they're doing one. It's like, well, why are we dressed like this? Well, we're here at Flying Dog.
Well,
it was just the most stupid commercial. It was great, though.
You know, they did that for Frontier as well.
Really?
Yeah, during the commercial... Oh, wait, it was... You know when, this is like the most rambling podcast ever. You know Cosmic Nyan or Cosmic Kune or something?
Yeah, Cosmic Kune.
It was a DVD of a concert, right?
Yeah.
So to advertise that on Tokyo MX, they actually had a special 1-hour program, which was a digest version of the concert with some Kawamura interviews thrown in.
Okay.
I have it somewhere recorded. That so during the commercial breaks,
okay,
they had voiceovers from Ayendo and Megumi Nakajima.
Uh-huh.
Doing the jingle, the Flying Dog jingle, you know, which is just a little dog that goes...
Oh, yeah.
So they did... And then the joke is that, like, if you guess which voice actress is doing the one, then you can enter a competition to win some stuff.
Wow.
So they did that as well.
That's kind of amazing. All right, well, speaking of live performances, Adrian...
Yes.
You want to come over here and talk about this lifelong goal, which was finally reached for all of us recently.
Oh, yes.
Recently. This
the
is
fulfillment.
It's good times.
The fulfillment of 20,000 years, or how is it, 200,000 years of silence? A hush of whatever.
Moichido.
So, we went on...
we had a full day.
We did, actually.
So, why don't we start there?
Now, that's a good point, Adrian, because it was a busy day. We started off with a fan club event, and then after that, we went to Super Robot Spirits. So, to briefly touch on the fan club event...
And then after that, we ate some donburi, some tendon.
Tendon, yeah.
This, there was... the first Macross Delta fan club event was held on April 30, and... Actually, they've announced the second one, and I've missed the ticket cutoff, and I don't have a ticket for it, so that will be interesting. I emailed the fan club, and they said, sorry, you can't get a ticket regardless. Missed the deadline. So, anyways, that's a different topic. These fan club events pop up normally about twice a year for members of the official Macross fan club. This time around, and they're normally just talk shows, usually a skit by, or some kind of, you know, in-character skit by whatever voice actors or actresses they have on stage. There's always a lottery for prizes and some kind of game with the crowd interaction. This time around, our guests we had lined up were Minori Suzuki, Freya, Asami Seto, Mirage, Megumi Nakajima, again. This is the second time I'd seen her.
Did she get as much of a...
Oh, yeah.
She got a reaction.
She got a reaction as well. It was huge. And Kikuko Inoue, Miss Eternally 17. Otherwise known as Grace.
Oi,
oi. Inoue Kikko, 17 desu. Oi, oi. Yoroshiku onegai shimasu.
also one of the producers turned up. I think it was Shinichi Hirai?
Yeah, Shirai Shinichi, yeah.
Right? So this event, it was basically a glorified talk show, but I guess, yeah, as you said, before we went into this hall that it was held at, the big draw was that they had the Chogokin Draken in Batroid for the first time ever anywhere in toy form.
Yeah, because I think just the previous week we had seen...
Episode 4.
Yeah, the Batroid transform finally.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good timing again.
Yeah. Well, everything about Delta so far, their timing has been really interesting. Yes. Really well synced.
Really well choreographed.
And, you know, they had it there, and the crowd to get pictures of that thing was huge. And I know 80% of the pictures I tried to take of it, I've got the Batroid, and then just coming up behind its legs is Egan's head. Just peering over the rim of the case like this, like a kid in a candy shop. But there was a huge crowd there taking pictures of. They also had those headphones, those Walkure headphones.
Yeah, I tried them. Did you try them?
No. What are they? What brand? The Pioneer, right? Pioneer branded.
I think so.
Headphones.
Yeah.
And they're very expensive.
Yeah, so I wore the headphones, and then to try out the quality, they actually had what we were just talking about, the high-res versions of the albums. So, I thought they were going to have, like, some new music, like Valkyrie songs, but that wasn't out yet or something. So I listened to the first couple of tracks of Do You Remember Love, the soundtrack. And, I don't know, I mean, they sound okay, but, like...
not that price okay. Like, not,
yeah.
Not 2.5...
Maybe I'm just not enough of an audiophile, even though I thought I was.
Yeah.
I didn't see the appeal of the high-res downloads, nor of the Valkyrie headphones. Other than they kind of look cool.
Okay. So what else did they have here? They had a bunch of the prizes for Ichiban Kuji and upcoming events.
They had orchids and flowers and stuff sent by the companies, like Flying Dog and whatever.
I think Midwest. They had the Fig Art Zero for Freya over there as well.
They had the bear of Open Ranka.
Oh, just sitting there?
The bear. It was part of the flower. Yeah, the stuffed bears.
So on the bouquet that they had...
Yeah, the bouquet.
They've done before, they had like a...
I have a photograph of it.
Nijiro Kumakuma.
I didn't part of the bouquet. Notice that.
They've done it before, though. So they had that.
I'll show you.
Oh, this makes for great radio.
Oh, that's because Megumi was on stage.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So was there anything else, Adrian, among the merch there that stood out to you? It was mostly the Draken?
No, it was the main draw was the Draken. Ichiban Kuji stuff. I think it was the first time we saw the Ichiban Mikimo painted.
Right. Yeah.
That was it. The headphones.
Right.
They gave you... Well, on the way out, they gave you the Star Ramen.
The baby Star Ramen. Right. So, as you mentioned, Renato, there isn't a lot to report on this event, but that's not going to stop me from trying. As we mentioned before, similar to Anime Japan, when Megumi came on, she got a huge reaction from the crowd. Right, an absolute huge reaction from the crowd. The only person... Well, the interesting thing was, you know, because you also had, you know, Minoru Suzuki, we had Asami Seto, like Mirage. But second only to Ranka was Kikuko Inoue. She got a really huge reaction from people as well, which I thought was interesting. I'm not really sure why.
Because she's a great voice actress, but... She's already pretty popular among the voice acting community.
And it's also because her introduction means a lot of interaction.
I guess, the oi oi thing.
I mean, they're waiting for it, right?
Right.
Yeah, they're waiting to...
So, because, you know, basically we had Freya, Mirage, Ranka, and Grace, and the producer who had one interesting anecdote to say, but apart from that, did squat. This was very much a girls' talk kind of event. It was also a... it really was a passing of the torch. So... Kikuko and Megumi were talking a lot about past events. Like, so they were filling in the new generation on what had happened in past fan club events, right? So they talked a bit, like, they mentioned that Kikuko had dressed up as Ranka. You know, Kikuko had dressed up as Ranka and done the Ranka dance. at the fan club event in 2011. And when they mentioned that, I was like, my God, that was 5 years ago. That's crazy. I tried to kind of block that out. But
yeah, so she must have been 12.
Exactly, going by her own rules. Not 45 or 40... no, 46 is the case would actually have been.
It's amazing because now her daughter is getting into entertainment industry, and her daughter is 17 now.
Right now?
Yes.
Oh, it just now. Means by next year her daughter will be older than her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's so, August.
So, I said the producer had one interesting thing to say, and he was talking about the Draken and how keeping the transformation a secret was such a burden. It was so hard that the security around that transformation was really strict, and that they're all really paranoid it was going to leak before episode 4 aired.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we've reported, even at the Tamashi Nations last year, in October, you know, there were no pictures allowed of those Chogorkin. And even the press, you weren't allowed to take the underside in case people looked at the panel lines and tried to work out the transformation sequence. And that when episode 4 had finished airing, he's like, damn, that was a relief. Yeah. So we all just the weight off our shoulders. The Draken's out there. We don't need to keep it a secret anymore.
And that was pretty much the only thing he said.
The only thing he said, right? I mean, it was fun.
It was all girls talk.
It was all girls talk, yeah. Although, among the girls talk, we got the biggest tease ever from Megumi, because we heard that while everyone else was getting changed and made up pre-talk show, Megumi was apparently loitering in the makeup room singing the ending for Macross Delta. She was singing Rimpika, and like everyone's like, oh, you can sing it? She's like, oh, I can sing it. And then she proceeded to not sing it for everyone. So it was the biggest tease. I'm hoping that means we'll get her singing it at an event in the future. I'm not holding my breath. Exactly. That's why I'm not holding my breath. But she was singing it in the back of the in the makeup room, apparently, which I thought was kind of funny. So yeah, it was really a girls' talk kind of event. You know, Freya was talking... Minori Suzuki was talking about being selected from 8,000 applicants. Again, they talked about, like, favorite songs from Macross, their favorite Macross impressions of Delta. There's a bit of girls talk about the favorite members of the Aerial Knights. And yes, Bogue and Royd both turned out to be quite popular with the ladies. They threw some predictions around about the love triangle. We heard that...
What love triangle?
That's why they're predictions.
Well, no. Oh,
but there will be one, basically.
No, okay. Now I know what you're talking about, because that was when they interacted with the fans,
right?
To raise their hands,
mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get it straight. Were they asking people how they wanted the love triangle, to end between the three of them, and they were given the examples,
right? Yeah. Yeah, it was Hayate Freya, Hayate Mirage, or no one, wasn't it?
And it was either, or I thought it was You're Both My Wings.
Yeah, which is no
one. Yeah.
And they actually did, okay, who wants Hayate Freya? And people, like clapped, cheered. And then Hayate Mirage, and then they said, or Both My Wings, and the whole place just went, rah! And I was like, what is wrong with you people? So, my question was, were they asking how they want the ending to be, or were they guessing how the ending was going to turn out to be?
That was my question, too. I don't think they really said specifically what that was.
Yeah, I think it was more like, how do you think it's going to be? Like, it's really vague,
yeah.
Right? So, I get your
how
distinction.
How do you think it's going to be with the implication, how do you want it to be?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, it kind of was both.
Yeah, so I thought it was interesting, going by that, that... And I also note... The people attending the event were mostly the older fans.
Hmm.
Like, there was a handful of younger fans,
mm-hmm.
but the majority of attendees were males in their late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And for those guys to vote that says a lot. You know, the black and white difference between older U.S. fans and older Japanese fans.
Hmm.
Because if they're cool with not having a decision made in the love triangle, that was really strange. Even I didn't really think that was a good answer. I was like, no, you have to choose. But they were all like, the big yell was for You're Both My Wings.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I definitely see where you're coming from. It was interesting. And the cheering was definitely strongest for that, for that option. So we had some of that. We heard that Mirage, like Asami Seto, back when Frontier was airing, she'd often frequent karaoke, and her favorite song to sing was Hoshikira from Frontier.
Yeah.
There was a video message from Yuma Uchida from Hayate. His opinion was a triangle will be determined by whoever gets the first kiss. Which, if you go by Frontier's example, that's kind of true. Because there was the kiss Cheryl gave Alto, and then, well, in the movies at least, she kind of won. But, and I've got to say, I said this before, but I like Uchida's portrayal of Hayate. I think he does the character well. He walks a fine line between coming off as really annoying and overly Genki, but he does it well. His persona he plays on stage and in person, when you see him talk in person, is far too over the top. He also does it for the radio show, the weekly radio show. I just think, like, if someone was really that hyperactive and that over the top, it'd be annoying as hell.
Yeah. I didn't get that from just that video message.
Well, maybe it's that compiled with the weekly radio shows I'm listening to. Yeah, and I've seen him talk several times before.
Yeah.
And I've always thought he's kind of... He tries to get the spotlight. Even when people aren't directing questions at him, he kind of jumps in, jumps out of his seat. He's kind of really hyperactive. It's kind of, I'm used to more, you know, even when Yamato 2199 came out, the younger male characters were all played by people in their early 30s. So I'm used to kind of, you know, more laid-back, more respectful kind of voice actor when it comes to the males. But he's a bit hyperactive.
It's a certain mode that we're seeing with a lot of the younger voice actors. Mamoru Miyano, he does a similar kind of shtick. Have you been to any of the Ajin talks and stuff? Where, like you were saying, when someone's asking a question with another voice cast member, he would kind of ham it up and throw in some jokes and play around when they do the film photo. So I guess that's the mode now for, like, when you got the main male voice actor, that he creates this kind of atmosphere, or, you know, he has to be, you know, engaging the audience even when it's
Yeah, and I mean, if there's someone to play off him, it's all right. I personally find it a bit meh. But so after his video message,
Was being interrupted all the time by Minori and and Seto.
Well, as much as you can interrupt a video message.
No, I mean, they were talking like straight over him.
Good.
Yeah,
it was
why it's funny. Yeah. Because he was being so serious, and he was talking. He was going on and on about something, and then it was like, they were like, "Who cares?"
Yeah, Asami's like, "Oh, he's too long." Oh, they obviously edited this. So after that, we got the short skit in character, which is always the highlight of these things, you know. And I wish some of these would get released, because in the past there's been some really cool mashups. This time, not so much. What happened was, on the official fan website, they solicited questions from fans, and they picked four questions, and each question would be one actress in character asking a question to another actress in character, right? So we had, like, Ranka asking Freya a question. Yeah. And so we had four of these. First was Ranka asking Freya what a rune is, what the rune in her hair is. And what was funny was, because in her way of explaining it, she's like, "Yeah, it moves by itself, just like your hair, Ranka." Callback to episode 1 of Frontier, which never happened again. We had Grace talking to Mirage. Grace asked Mirage what kind of pilot does she want to become, and Grace also told her she needs to be more flexible, which is, you know, talk about stating the obvious. We had Freya asking Ranka a question, which was about Ranka's recommended places to go if she were to visit the Frontier fleet on tour. Of course, all the recommendations were that she visit Nyan Nyan and have some Maguroman. And finally, you had Grace asking all three. So Grace asking Ranka, Freya, Mirage, if there's anyone they look up to or respect. And this started off, the replies were what you'd expect, you know. Ranka said, you know, Cheryl. Freya said, well, Kure. Mirage said her grandparents. And then Grace was like, oh, but speaking of your grandparents, wasn't your aunt, like, you're in Firebomber? It's like, you know, she was hanging out with Basara. And then Cheryl's voice breaks over the speaker. It's like, Basara? If you're going to talk about Basara, I'm going to talk about who I look up to. So we had a recorded message from Aya Endo in character Cheryl to complete that, which was kind of interesting. Yeah. And then after the skit finished, we got a video message from Aya Endo saying hi to everyone. And she was really just like recording from the office or something. She's like, hey! Everyone's laughing. She's like so casual about it. She's like, hey, guys. That was kind of cool. And finally...
It's kind of cool and kind of weird, too. Like, was she busy that she couldn't come to the...
According to Tenjin, she's one of the top voice actresses right now with the most amount of work. somehow she got between last year and this year, her schedule is just booked.
Really?
Yeah. And she's even doing, like, was it, she did that mobile game? She played Didlet?
Yeah, she was in the Lotus War, Record Lotus War.
She played Didlet?
Yep.
What happened to the original voice actress?
Toma Yumi? Who knows?
So, I mean, she's probably all over the place, and she was just probably at the gym show.
Yeah.
Just probably the this.
Yeah, I mean, clearly she was. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And then the best part, I'm sure, of the evening, which everyone was thrilled about, which was the paper aeroplane relay game.
Yeah, that was certainly a thing.
So
that happened.
They each actress made an airplane, threw it out into the crowd. You had to try and throw it up.
And behind
the first crowd to get to the back, you know, they won a prize.
Right? Yeah.
And the thing is, some actresses made really crappy paper airplanes. So they throw it and it just drop like a stone. And
well, you don't really know who made them.
Oh, they're on the
all
table.
Pre-made. Yeah, it was the Asakusa fan club event we went to like 3 years ago, where we actually got to see them make their own planes.
Right.
And Tenjin had the worst flying plane.
So maybe he made some of them for this event. We should ask him.
Yeah.
Because those planes, they dropped like a rock. Took forever.
But they had canards on them.
Yeah, they did.
The ones that dropped looked like they were made by Tenjin. You know?
That's interesting. Alright. So, let's push this through then. So we got to this event, did the event, and then we ran over to catch Super Robot Spirits 2016. Now, we've mentioned Super Robot Spirits briefly, well, not so briefly, but in the cast before, when there's been a Macross-related appearance, performance. Previously, for example, we have heard Hiroko Kasahara, Ishtar, do Promise. That was last year. Previously, we've heard Fukuyama play backing guitar for Southern Cross. So it's a mashup event that happens every year. Day one is 80s and 90s robot shows. Day two, in this case, was 70s Super Robot and like Battleship, like Yamato songs.
Yes.
So I always go every year. This is the gig I go to. Often a lot of it's the same. You get the same kind of Gundam songs, but you get the original artists singing them. It's just a good time. And, you know, what was the song we're talking about the other day, Adrian? The one that was really good.
Oh, King Gainer.
King Gainer. You can never go wrong with King Gainer being
sung. Never
seen
the show, but I love that song. It is, I mean, that is one of the best songs, and especially live, like Fukuyama. It's like he's even more, like, I don't know. He's given like a stronger performance than he would do for like Dynamite Explosion. It's just crazy. He's like going back and forth.
It was the opening act.
Yeah, that was the opening song this time.
Do you think that's because he wasn't playing guitar? He gets really into it?
Well, I think it might be because I've seen him do the song when we went to see the Fukuyama band.
Okay.
And maybe it's because the Fukuyama band is like a whole unit and everyone interacts, but this one is like the band for that event and they're a good band.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he basically has to keep everyone into it because he's the only part of the original song.
Well, this time around we knew in advance we'd have a specific number of Macross singers, more than normal. So who do we have?
Well, usually we have always Fukuyama. He's always there. Kasahara's always there.
Usually.
She's been there the past 3 years in a row. No, four.
Mm.
4 years in a row she's been there, but she sings a lot of mecha songs.
Right.
And this year they invited Mariejima.
All the way from the US.
Yes.
And it's her first time to appear at this gig.
Or Tsuchiura, whichever you choose.
That was a running gag, wasn't it? So we kind of had this feeling like, well, with Delta on air and with three Macross singers, they're going to do a couple of Macross songs.
Yeah, I'm guessing maybe four.
Four.
Five. And that's why I went, because this was my first one.
It's your first one.
Yes.
Yeah, you're lucky, because I went before, and I have to like shift through all the Gundam stuff over and over, maybe get a good like Super Robot song and then more Gundam.
I'm lucky, that's why I went.
Yeah.
Well, before you get into details, what did you think of it overall?
I actually thought it was really, really good. I was very entertained. I liked the atmosphere. Didn't like the guy that smelled, that was standing in front of me. But
That narrows it down, but okay.
That goes with... No, I guess so.
Which event are you talking about?
Yeah. But, yeah, it's... like I said, every year we get probably, you know, 60-70% same songs with 30-40% mixed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, like, I didn't know a lot of the more minor Gundam songs. But they're okay. Like, I like live music in general.
Mm-hmm. You knew, like, you know, 10 years after...
I was
after.
Surprised that it was so long.
Yeah, it was.
It was, like, 3 hours.
It was a 34-song set... gig.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, we got the usual. We'll stand up to the victory from Gundam. Yeah. What about Nadesco? You get burning, that kind of thing.
Mm. Yeah, I like that song.
Yeah.
We got
Pat
Labor opening.
Yeah.
We got endings, right?
And yeah. For the Nadesco, for the first time, we got You Get the Burning. We got Watashi Roshiku, the ending, and we got it's Dearest, right? Dearest was the movie song from Prince of Darkness, which I'd never heard live before. So it was great hearing that live. So. But look, I could go on about all the songs in this track list for Man of Destiny. I love that song. Anyway, Macross. We ended up with...
I like Dumbine.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... Is that 10? No.
It's like nine.
9 songs. Wow. Okay. We started off with Macross, the opening for the original TV show. Acoustic
version?
That was
the first one?
Yeah, because that was when they... That was before, like, kind of like their intermission, because they do all the rock stuff and then they bring in acoustic, and okay. They did it acoustic with like maybe half of the performers.
Half of the Gundam girls from over the years were singing the opening to Macross, and unlike when they did like Do You Remember Love last year, they didn't screw the lyrics up really. They actually got it right, and it was an acoustic arrangement, which is well, Fukuyama
on acoustic guitar. It was one other guy on bass.
Right.
I don't know who that was.
But it was good.
Yeah.
It was really
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
And then Mari came out and we got three songs from Mari.
Yeah.
Right.
Now these were separate because this is the acoustic thing. Then they went to the intermission where the guy came, like, kind of like the MC comes out, talks.
Right.
And then he said,
I like him.
They're going to do the Chojiku series,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. And, but he doesn't say what it's going to be.
Right. He'll be like, all right, so we've gone from what, Mobile Police to a song that's a Super Dimension. So where do we go? Super Dimension. Maybe we go to more Super Dimension. And then we got Mari.
And Mari came out.
And we got My Boyfriend's a Pilot, Angel Paints, Do You Remember Love?
Well, when Mari came out, he first of all introduced... her as the person that came from the furthest place today, and then one guy put up his hand and said Tsujiura. He came from Tsujiura, and he was like, well, this guest doesn't come from Tsujiura, she comes from Los Angeles. And when Mari came out, and just before she performed, she said, actually, I was born and raised in Tsujiura. So
I wonder if the fan that guy yielded that knew.
It must have been.
Because it was a pretty good guy.
Our friend, Kimi, like Matsuda-san, he was standing next to us. And when he said that, I turned to him and I said, I'm sure he knows that Mari Ijima comes from Tsujiura. And she's like, Kimi, he's like, really? Are you sure? And she comes out and just straight up says that.
Okay.
And the MC, I'm sure, didn't know.
Yeah, no, he was,
yeah.
It was a
so
good guy.
Like, what?
They actually got him one, which
was
good.
Yeah.
But no, he's a good MC, so yeah, she was, you know, it's always interesting the juxtaposition between Mari performing at like Macross Worldcon and in Japan, because she's, I don't want to say more polite because that sounds wrong, it's a different image she's kind of presenting for herself. She's presenting kind of like a singer-songwriter, solo artist, her own manager kind of thing in the US. Here it's, I don't know, she was more demure, kind of self-effacing to an extent, very polite, kept the talking relatively short.
Yeah, well, she's trying very hard not to make it her own thing, you know, she's trying to fit in.
And yeah, so as I said, My Boyfriend's a Pilot, Angel Paints, and Do You Remember Love. I think the song that went off best out of all those was by far Do You Remember Love, because everyone knew it.
You mean,
well,
as
people
far
knew
as...
it, as far as Mari songs go.
Well, I thought the best sounding one was Angel Paints.
Angel Paints, yeah.
Oh, really?
As well, yeah.
Okay.
Because you're always going to get with Do You Remember Love, you're always going to get that right borderline, ooh, she can't really get it anymore. Yeah. Like, you gamon through it, but It's not perfect anymore. But Angel Paint's because it's not so high.
Okay.
It's more, I think that one is probably like her best song to play. Hmm. My Boyfriend is a Pilot because she always takes that kind of walking out. Like, everyone, come on, everyone. It's like, I don't like the tempo of how they do it. It's not near as cute or interesting as the original recording.
Hmm. Fair enough. So,
but then who cares about that?
At this point, yeah, we're four songs in and the MC comes out, Marty leaves the stage. So we've gone from Super Dimensional Fortress to Super Dimensional Fortress 2.
Yeah. And at this point, I again turned around to Kimi just before he said, okay, we've had Macross, right? And now what comes next? Super Dimensional Fortress? And I said, Orgus. It's gonna be Orgus. And he said Macross 2. And I'm like, wait, what? No, no, you skipped a decade, man. There's more shows. There's more Super Dimensions.
Yeah, but you have, there's probably, if you really think about it, there's probably more opportunity to hear an Orgus song.
No, the guy's dead.
Well, I know that. I'm talking, most of these are covers, but
well, these aren't, are they?
No, these are mostly
these are actually. Yeah, yeah. I mean, at a Super Robot show, they'll probably play them because it was 4 years ago. Nabe told us, told me while he was at the show, "Oh, I just heard Promise Live. Where are you? What are you talking about? Oh, I'm at Super Robots. What's that?" And then the next year, she was announced to appear. So I got a ticket. I went. She didn't sing any Macross songs.
Oh, yeah, three Pat Labor songs.
We did a podcast on that, didn't we?
Yeah, and then she did Burning Fire with Gamma.
Just to rub it in.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was great, but that's not where I went.
But this is what you were waiting for, and you finally got it.
Well, the thing is, in the year after that...
The year after that, I skipped, and she was there again, and she did Promise.
She did Promise, yeah, because I was there last year. But this year, she did two songs, which I've never heard of her doing at this before. I mean... This is two songs more than we got at the Crossover Live.
Oh, keep in mind.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, Crossover Live, the previous one, she didn't perform. The big Crossover Live that was in Makuhari was a two-day event. I got tickets for the second day, and I had to sit through the Macross Plus crap, and there was no Macross 2 because that was the first day.
Yeah, we
and
did get
she only did one song, and Tom, who should be stopping by shortly, told me, like, oh, yeah, she came yesterday. And I go, oh, really, what's she saying? Well, she's saying Moichido Love. I'm like, that's the one I want to hear. Yeah. And he goes, yeah, she just, like, walked out, sang, and then walked right off. Didn't say a word.
Well, none of them did, none of the guest spots in that game.
Yeah.
But this time we got both. So how did it feel to finally...
Well, first, she started with Promise.
Okay.
And it sounded exactly like the CD. Exactly.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Not that they were playing the CD and she was singing over it, but the band was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The backing, like, the people singing in the backing vocals, amazing. And I'm like, this is all I'm going to get. I'm happy. I don't care what they do after this. As soon as it was over, I'm like, okay, she's going to turn around and just walk off. She turns around, walks to the stage where the drummer is, takes a drink of water, and I'm like, oh shit, shit's about to get real.
Yeah, I turned to you as well. I saw you say, I'm like, oh shit, she's not leaving the stage.
Yeah.
This is Condition Green. Yeah. This hasn't happened.
And then all of a sudden...
Except we already got Condition Green.
Yeah, and then she comes back to the mic and you hear that... And then the little instruments coming in. Oh, and I was just like, oh my god.
Like, I didn't want to look at the stage. I was too busy looking at his shit-eating grin. It was gross.
Oh my god. I was... it was the best.
Over the moon.
Moment.
You were over the moon,
exactly.
Alice.
I was.
Yeah, he took him to the moon.
Yeah, exactly.
Take him to the moon.
Like, because before after the gig, right, we got one of those 360-degree photos that Kimi took on that weird camera.
Oh, yeah,
I wanted one of those when she turned around and did this song, because I wanted Adrian's face on camera.
But her performance was amazing, and what I thought was good about it, it still shows that the audience can appreciate it. Because maybe they're not big fans of Macross 2, but they love the music. Mm-hmm. And that performance was awesome.
Yeah, I gotta say, that song is phenomenal. And that performance just was a perfect recreation. I agree with 100% what you're saying.
Right.
And I could have just got up and walked out, and I'm glad I didn't, but we'll get into that more later.
Right. Yeah, so, agreed here. That was a great
transition.
And
she looks the same as well.
pretty much. I'm at least from that looking distance. From a distance. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
but she does. You know, the Pat Labor song's still great. You know, she. Yeah. Does, I mean, I kind of wonder why she's not more active. Like, she can still do this song so well. It's like, why isn't she cashing in on it more? But
recently, I did a search for her name in this one shopping app because I'm trying to find the Ishtar thing in Message from Ishtar. And it looks like she's worked on some, like, I think it's like the live-action Bleach stage performance stuff. Because really? There's, like, DVDs that she's accredited to.
Speaking of that CD, since they put that audio on the Macross 2 Blu-ray, prices for that single have dropped. Like a rock.
Not really. I still see it for about $4,000.
Picked up for $2,500 2 weeks ago.
You suck.
I saw it at price on auction. I was like, gotta get it if it's that price. Because it used to be more than $4,000. I've seen it for $5,000, $6,000, $7,000.
2 weeks ago or 2 days ago?
2 weeks ago.
Because I just missed out on one.
No, that wasn't me. This was a couple of weeks ago.
Anyways.
But, so.
And then, I mean, well, what could possibly follow that? I mean, the curtains just came down and they...
I'm just surprised there's a Macross 2 rivalry brewing here. Macross 2.
So the and then, you know, as the MC says, from Macross 2 to Macross...
3!
3? And he's like, no, there is no 3. We're going straight to 7.
But there was a 3.
There was a 3, yeah. But we didn't want to hear the opening to the M3 live.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Get it on.
Macross 3 was the working title to Macross Plus.
So Fukuyama came on, and we got Seventh Moon, Power to the Dream, and Dynamite Explosion.
Yes.
Bang, bang, bang. So with that, we had...
I'd never heard Power to the Dream performed live before.
Oh, he normally does Matamani also?
Yes.
Okay. I think I had, probably at some gig or other. So what do you think? I mean, you've heard way more Fukuyama live than I have. How was he?
Yeah, good. I mean, I've heard it so much, I'm like, yeah. Okay, that's cool. You know? I mean, I was glad that I heard this song that I'd never heard before.
Yeah.
Dynamite Explosion, like, at this point, like, he's got it down.
So right. Well, same with Seventh,
exactly the same every time.
Same with Seventh Moon, really.
Yeah. I mean, it's really only a difference when he's having an off day, and this wasn't that, so it's okay.
Or if he's doing songs he doesn't normally do.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But yeah, no, so 9 Macross songs. I mean, so you don't need to go to another Super Robot Spirits ever again. That's it.
I'll go. If she's there, I'll go, and I don't care.
Even if you get another gig of Pat Labor?
I don't care. That's fine. I'll take the chance. I'll gamble. What I liked after is, because, you know, when they all brought everyone on stage.
Right.
And they're talking about, oh, how everything went. Fukuyama was all, yeah, we did, like, 9 Macross songs. Like, this is like a Macross gig. And those girls that all sing Gundam stuff were all, like, making, like, the fist at him.
Yeah,
he's like, this is we never Gundam. Get this much Macross. It's like, it's always, like, Gundam stuff. And all the Gundam girls are, like, coming for him.
Hey. Well, yeah, I was about to, like, get up there and just, like, tell him shut up.
He's going to get up there and just pick up Kasahara and walk off with her over one shoulder. Yeah, and I mean, even, you know...
Because they've got the first half of the Macross franchise, basically, right there on stage.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean,
The best half.
The only thing that we haven't really heard done live from 2 is the opening.
Yeah. That's true.
Where is that girl?
Mika? Is it Mika? No.
Yeah, it's Mika something.
Yeah.
Richard will know. Richard.
Well, there's that one or two clips floating around YouTube of her doing the song live once in that very 90s looking outfit.
With the B-boy hat.
Yeah. It's like, why haven't we heard that live yet? I mean, that would be where they have to go to spice it up. But
yeah, I'm okay.
But, see, it's not complete. The circle is not complete.
The triangle is not complete.
But even after, you know, I'm sorry, I was a Gundam fan. We went straight into like 10 years after from 08MS and like Men of Destiny from 0083. Going on a bit with Eternal Wind. We got like Zeta Gundam opening. That is some great. We've got Dumbine, so this is a good.
Well, Dumbine was everyone.
Yeah,
everyone on stage. But did you notice Mari was not singing?
Yes, I was gonna say including Mari Ijima, but I didn't see her. I mean, maybe she did a little bit, but I don't think she needed the lyrics.
Maybe not.
Overall, I thought it was a great gig, and
you know, I was glad to have finally seen
most. Yeah, a lot of Macross fans we knew people. Were doing the same pattern as us, right? Because the fan club gig was held twice because they do a different live sketch each time. So people go the morning and the afternoon, or the midday and the evening. We were just midday, and a bunch of people were with us, and they were just like, "Yep, we've all got to dash from this to get to Super Robot Spirits." And I took a friend of mine, a senpai actually from university, who has been out of the otaku game. I'm trying to re-corrupt him.
Why?
Because he helped corrupt me back in the day. So it's like, revenge, come right, on, just because you got family and a kid, it doesn't mean you can't rock out at Super Robot Spirits. And even not having watched anime, like, probably since the turn of the century, like, he said he knew 60, 70% of the songs.
Well, they're all, like, 20, 30, 40 years old. Well, yeah,
and he wasn't following stuff, you know, that hardcore back in the day, just what he was... Well, he came across as a general geek via osmosis, pretty much.
Yeah.
And he was like, it was great. Like, he was really... Yeah. We all chilled out afterwards and put on Gundam opening and ending DVDs rocked out to about 3 a.m. But anyway, so that is, or was, Super Robot Spirits 2016. It wasn't?
Because, at the very end,
okay,
they did the kind of donations for the Kumamoto earthquake. And so they said, people that want to donate, everyone participating in the show will be lined out outside, then you can give a donation. Because each kind of member will have like their own little donation box.
Mm-hmm.
So we waited. Renato, me, and who's it? Matthew.
Yeah. I went. Yes. I left.
And there's a huge line, went by fairly quickly. And
not really.
Yeah.
Well, it took a while, but we were talking about something, and we were very excited about whatever it was that we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that was.
Delta. So anyways, Delta. In the no. end, by the time we not. Got to there, we're towards the end of the line, but when we got through, Mari was no longer standing with them.
Yeah.
But it was just Kasahara and Fukuyama. And I walked right by all the Gundam singers. I was like, I'm getting my money. And then I said, went straight
it's
to
for the earthquake relief. They're not getting anything.
I went straight to the Kasahara, put it in the box, looked at her, and in Japanese says, I'm a huge Ishtar fan. And she's like, oh, and started clapping, and then they pushed us away, just like a handshake event.
Yeah.
It's like, keep going.
Also, you forgot to mention that we met the voice of Hibiki there. Just lounging around.
Well, you did, because I left, but I knew he was there.
Oh,
did you? I heard okay. He was hanging out there.
Yeah, I just bumped into him. I said, hey. And Matt is apparently a big Macross 2 fan.
Yes, he is.
So I grabbed Matt and I introduced him and said, this is the guy. Here he is. Yeah, it's Hibiki on the phone.
He turns up at a lot of events. I'm going to see him next month, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So what you're saying is he's not as busy as Aya Endo.
No,
not really.
Quite.
Okay.
Not quite. Maybe.
But all right.
Well, anyway, Mary had left because she had to go to the NHK radio interview
that was going to be later with that Shokotan, night. Right?
Yes, with Shokotan, who had I don't remember. Like, she put up some pictures later on that were on SNS, where she made a gift for her or something. I don't know. But actually, I wanted to listen to that, but we didn't make it in time.
And that was Super Robot Spirits.
Super Roboto!
Alright, well...
Alright, so before we end this podcast, talk about toys. Everyone wants us to talk about toys, apparently. And in toy news, in the last 2 weeks, there was Tamashii Features, and Tamashii Features premiered the Figure Art Zero Keith figure.
Yes!
That's exactly what we've all been waiting for!
Yes. Yeah. And if it's going to be anything like the Tiger and Bunny Figure Art Zero, it will sell well.
I saw a tweet this morning where someone had somehow gotten I think they must have focused on the mirror behind and got a very good close-up of the figure's butt.
Yes!
Yeah, they were tweeting about how well the butt was sculpted.
Well, that wouldn't have been Tamashii Features. That would have been because... Well, first, Tamashii Features, they had a High Metal R section where they showed the Max and Myria Supers.
The High Metal Isles.
Yeah, which they showed in the big diorama, but mm-hmm. they actually had them in Batroid mode. They had the Glosh. They had obviously they had the Regalts, the Cannon Fodder 1A.
Okay.
And the latest version of the Destroid Monster.
You're looking at me while you say
yes,
that.
Yes, because I spoke to the guy that's in charge of the development. He specifically told me, this is not the one we've had here the last few months. We just put it in today. This has most of the major issues fixed. This is 90% what the final product is going to look like.
Okay.
And you could see the hinges and the legs. The right. Everything that you say is not there is more clearly visible.
It looks like he's wearing Kuribo's shoe from Super Mario Bros. 3. But I get that reference.
So there was that for the DX Chogokins. They had the mock-ups of the Delta Flight.
Right.
And they were not fully transformable or anything like that. They were just fighter mode. Mm. And they had the Draken in Batroid mode, which was still the mock-up version, I think the same one we saw at the fan club event. And next to that was the Keith figure. And another area was the other part of the event, but if I recall, there was no Macross stuff there.
Mm.
So everything, and this was inside the Tamashii showroom area.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following day was open to the public, the Saturday, Sunday. Then after that ended, the display mostly stayed there, but because Oshare Macross was still going on,
right,
during, before and after that show, they moved the Keith figure to the Oshare Macross. And that was in the display where that picture of his butt probably came from, because you couldn't see his butt.
Yeah.
At the Akiba showroom, not that I was looking. And the one thing I did notice, because we did talk about it in the Dell and Gert talk,
right,
about Oshare Macross. So if you go to the Oshare, check out Gert talk, well, you hear about what we talked about on that.
Right.
But I went on the last day, mm-hmm. got there like 2 hours before it closed, and we had mentioned that there wasn't a lot of product made for this Oshare Macross,
mm-hmm.
just basically the microfiber hand towels,
right,
and the kind of tapestry thing.
Right.
And they had posters of the Walkiri.
Mm-hmm.
With basically the image of them all pointing to one area. Posters all sold out. In place of those posters was the opposite image, which was the Aerial Knights, right, poster.
Right.
They had about 8 or 9 left with the big sign, Walkiri version sold out. I went to go check out the microfiber towels.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing that was left was a stack of the Aerial Knights microfiber towels and Hayate and Mirage. All the Valkyrie girls, gone.
So all the idols, all the Valkyrie girls gone, but Miss Popular, Miss Mirage, still very much left over.
Yeah. There are still...
Maybe they couldn't see her because she's a Mirage.
Wow.
So you're saying?
And Craig talked about my one-liner. That was pretty much it. That was the last 2 hours of the Oshare Macross this week. It closed. I believe there'll be another one going on during the fall when it gets announced. So hopefully there'll be new merchandise or new toys. And that's pretty much for toy news.
Okay.
Yay.
All right, so... let's sign off, guys. Renato, people can find you on that Twitter account that you're supposed to have made but haven't made yet, but will make soon.
No, I have it. This is the future, right? I'm just not going to tell you what it is.
Okay, well, tell me later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Of course, you can reach anyone on the podcast via Gmail at speakerpod@gmail.com. You can also find Adrian.
You can find me at GiantRobo with... Please send me any of your toy questions or anything related to Akiba culture.
That's on Twitter?
Yes, that's right. On Twitter.
Similarly, you can find myself on Twitter, Gwyn Campbell. Blah, 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 blah. Gwyn Campbell.
In katakana.
Campbell. Gwyn Campbell. I did, didn't I? Gwyn Campbell, capital G, capital C, one word, over at Twitter, or just search for Macross in English and I'll probably be in the feed somewhere. Also, you can find the latest issues of Gear Talk and Speaker Podcast on iTunes. So look for us there, and we'll have many, many episodes to go of Gear Talk, because we've got plenty of episodes of Delta to go, and plenty of events coming up in the very near future. Egan, I won't even ask. The Mysterious Venus is being mysterious. You can find Egan on the Speaker Podcast and on Gear Talk. So direct any questions to him, to us, via any of the other previously mentioned methods. Also, you can find me on the Repack Podcast's Dishing on Delta segment, which is done by Craig over at the Repack Podcast. Definitely drop by and give those guys a listen. So on that note, that's a lot of music we've talked about, guys. We're all musicked out. I'm completely decultured. I kind of need a vaccine live from Valkyrie. Although there's one coming up in a few months.
But I haven't gotten my tickets.
Haven't you?
No.
We'll discuss that.
I might not be in the country, so I can't commit.
Damn. All right. Well, with Renato's inability to commit, the rest of us are committed to getting out of here, but we'll be back soon with all the latest news. This is Speaker Podcast folding out.
Hi.